Shabbat Shalom. It's a beautiful Sabbath outside. It's hot. And I'm not complaining because come December and the cold months, and people will be saying the same thing. I cannot wait until it warms up. I can't wait so I can go to pool. My message today is entitled, A Condition of the Heart, Modesty Is. Now, I know there's a lot of ideas that pop into people's head. I'm like, oh, another guy talking about modesty. Sometimes you have to find ways to take some teeth from the dragon. And I think I figured out the way. I like to tell a little joke, though, as an icebreaker. And actually, I'm not great at jokes, but I actually really got a lot of laughs at work from this. And it's basically about a nun that was out wandering around. And you're like, well, what do you call a nun that wanders around? The answer is a Roman Catholic. With that being said, let's define modesty here real quick. Our friend Webster says, modesty, number one, is freedom from conceit or vanity. Number two, propriety in dress, speech, and conduct. And before I even look this up, these are actually the subjects that I was speaking about. Examples of modesty. She accepted the award with modesty, not a lot of pomp and circumstance. He is known for his modesty, an uncommon characteristic for a politician. We all know that. A lot of mudslinging out there. No one wants to just be fair and square. There was no false modesty in her victory speech and the modesty of her clothing. Now, modesty is universal. We're going to look at Proverbs 6, 27 through 28. You don't have to, for those online or for those in the future, you can go ahead and have your Bibles open. Otherwise, I do have slides for those here, and I hope that the clicker works well with me. Proverbs 6, 27 through 28 reads, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So let's stop and think about this for a second. Talking about a man here. No, it's not talking about, this is not all about women. There are victims too here, and we're going to point those out. I'm going to point those out. We're going to see that modesty is universal. It affects everybody. There is not a victimless crime here. Talking about a man here, and as I'm taking this and hypothetically thinking, the fire that you're taking to your bosom are the situations that you allow yourself to get into. The things that you walk into and you bring yourself there. If you know that there's temptation over there and you're thinking, maybe I can handle it. What if you can't? You get too close to fire all too many times. You get scarred. You get burned. And burns do heal up physically. What about the spiritual? How deep does that go? No one ever knows how deep a wound runs with any individual person. You don't know what's going on inside a person. Proverbs 11:22. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. A swine's snout. Well, pigs are an abomination. Swine, hogs, boars, whatever you'd like to call them. They're an abomination. Yahweh made them for a purpose. But you bedeck something like that with fine gold, pearls, jewelry, gems. Pig doesn't care. Can't appreciate that stuff. It's just there. A woman without discretion. She's just going to do whatever she wants. She doesn't care about the rules or whatever. It's going to be a mark on her. It's going to be a mark on the guy dealing with fire. You have to think about what you're doing and what you're bringing close to. Now, as I said, there's a physical. And there's the spiritual. Now, this gentleman here, we've seen him, or some of us have seen him, particularly from my generation a little bit before. Some of the newer generation may not be familiar with. But modesty is not a victimless crime. Is it a victimless crime? Please tell me more. We'll start out with children. They are victims. Because children look around and they see what's going on around them. Sometimes they might ask their parents, Mom, Dad, look it, and what is, and what for, and why? Sometimes they may just look and observe and they just take it in. And it kind of gets stored up there in the memory banks. But like certain types of computers, you can't wipe it out unless it gets destroyed. You never know what's going to draw up these memories of perhaps your friend did this, maybe mom did this, maybe dad did this. Think about it. When children see adults argue, especially if it's mom and dad, they carry that stuff forward and it goes into their relationships. They look around, not just in this assembly, but in other assemblies. Other assemblies are losing children because of hypocrisy. They're saying do and don't, but don't. Okay, but don't. Do as I say do, but don't. Yahshua told Moses, or the Israelites, the Jews, when they're in Moses' seat, you listen and you do. But don't do as they do. You're hopping from one foot to another. Whatever the children are seeing, and parents become their guards, but they can't stop what they see. They can't stop the experience. As adults and as other children, you have to take care of what you're doing by your actions and by your words. Because what are you saying to these children? You have to think about that. Children are truly innocent. They're blank slates, just like that chalkboard back there. It's got writing on it, except that you can erase that chalkboard. Of course, like I said, like certain computers with lots of memory, it can be recovered unless destroyed. More victims, men and women. What we hear, see, experience, it all comes inward. It's a condition of the heart. Have you ever looked around in the assembly, any assembly you may be, whether you're hearing this, whether you're at home, whether you're raised up in a Sabbath-keeping, Torah-observant assembly, or whether you have come out of the world from some type of Pentecostal, apostolic, Catholic, there's too many denominations for me to name, but when you've come out of those and you've come from one area to another and you think back and think about the memories that something may have evoked, you may be sitting here not doing anything and all of a sudden somebody says something, you hear a particular tune, and it brings back that memory, and you see, and you're just like, oh man, I thought I forgot that. You hadn't thought about it in a long time, but something evoked it, something dragged it forward. Brother Jose talked about burdens and baggage. Some of them we gladly put away. We're glad we're not around that stuff, but then say something you're around, even here on Sabbath. It happens, you see it, and your memories start coming back, and you're like, oh, I thought I was done with that. You wish it would go away, but it's ever present. And we have to be careful about guarding our hearts. You really do have to be careful. Some of these memories are bad. They scar us. I've been through some abuse. And there's certain things that I did forget. And certain things bring them back. Think about it. During the holidays, we don't want anything to do with Christmas. We don't want anything to do with Easter. And yada, yada. But you go shopping during that time. And if you came out of the world, you know all the tunes because you came up with them. I like to put on my iPod. I'll go into the stores then because I don't want to hear anything because it'll drag those songs right back up and it's tough putting them down. Only death and Alzheimer's, and I'm probably butchering this word, Alzheimer's disease can purge memories. Nothing gets rid of memories except our passing. I believe it's see in Ecclesiastes or Proverbs where it is spoken about that the memory of them dies. Death puts that away. There's no more reward, no more joy in the sun. Our time is done. Now, oppression is also dealt with when it comes to modesty too, because in the society of America, I grew up during a time where you have two different statements, but they're basically saying the same thing. Less is more. More is less. Depends on which way you're coming from. It's still about the same thing. Whether it's men, whether it's women. I recently actually had some motivation for this particular subject because a woman posted online about no one ever talks about the men. Men running down the street shirtless, or men wearing this, or men wearing that. And I thought about it. I never thought about that end of the spectrum. Because women are human too. Women have frailty. Women have thoughts of their own. Who knows a person's inner thoughts, where they come from and what they do? Is it a lot of time that our particular society, not just America, but other society, try to control things? We look at the burqas and the niqab. Opinions may vary on how you say that, and if I butchered it, apologies. I did ask someone, and I'm going with that. But the extremist Muslims, what do? In order to remove the temptation, the potential stumbling block, they just totally throw a sheet over somebody, and all you can see is their eyes. I've even seen some where they've got like a little grid over the eyes so that everything is removed. But yet you're oppressing a person. Instead of teaching someone in love the proper way to go about things. Certain societies in the Muslims, and I'm not picking them because I'm going to come right back to the United States because this is where I'm from. But they can't drive. They can't learn. You can't go out the house without a male with you. What is that? It's oppression, and that is not a way to teach somebody about the values of modesty, of how not to go about it vainly. In America, as I said, less is more. More is less. I once saw a cartoon where it shows a woman in a burqa, and they talk about how the American woman in the two-piece looks at her and sees how oppressed she is because she has to cover up. And then the woman in the burqa looks at the American woman, and she says, how oppressed you are that the only thing that you can cover up is your eyes. And that's the bad thing, you know, that I have come from where I do, and then sometimes I look around, and yeah, sometimes in the assembly, sometimes I keep my mouth shut, and sometimes I privily will maybe go to an elder and say, what do you think? But sometimes, and I think about the children, and they look around, and they see behaviors of goings-ons of, and they may say, well, why is that? I remember one of the children asked him, one is like, well, what about your hair? Because of a guy, had longer hair. Or even asking someone about the games that they may play. Some of these things that we don't see on a daily. And it's modesty. It's the children seeing things, and they're not being guarded from it. And it's not to say we should hide what we do. But particularly on the Sabbath, and especially in the assembly, because the assembly, this building, it's bricks, it's mortar, it's hewn. It's just a building. It's the people, once again, I've said it before, and it's been said before, it's the people that make a place holy or unholy, depends on what's done within the walls. Again, oppression, the memories can come back with sounds and experiences. Think of somebody right now with the wars we have going on, post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, or lived through abuse. We have to be careful of the words of our mouth, the actions that we do, and how we perform. Those are three things that apply to men, women, and even children. Now, here we are, the slide. The witness is three. Appearance, action, and words. I make no apologies for anything that I say up here because these are true issues that everybody, whether you're a single person, whether you're a man seeking a wife, woman seeking a husband, or a married couple, or even the aged. We always have to watch out for these things because though gossip is not good, it happens, and we don't want whisperings and murmurings. Did you see? Those are bad things. The appearance, of course, is clothing, men and women, even children. Train them up in a way that they should go. That's what the proverb does say. If a child, and we've gone to baseball games, and I've seen little girls, maybe 8 years old, super short skirts, super short shorts, the cowboy boots, it's kind of country, but it's not right because they're dressed like an adult, except in miniature form. And what's one of the parents to do who's trying to follow this? They're trying to guard their children, and you're like, are you going to talk bad about them? Maybe you can find a better way to speak in love about a situation like that. But these are the things that we have to worry about when we go out into the world on how to instruct our young ones. Why should we be concerned about modesty? Simple answer. It's the gospel. Think about the gospel message. When's the last time we reviewed the totality of the gospel message? When you think about it in your head, if you were ready to explain it to someone else, could you be able to do it, and how well would you be able to do it? Or does it require mental gymnastics, as I borrow a term from Brother Michael? A few gospel points that I'd like to think about and point out. The gospel message, it's about service. It's about humbleness. You are your brother's keeper. Remember Cain asking that about Abel? Am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible for another person? I like to think as brethren we are. Loving one another in word and deed. Faith without works is dead, right? You can talk. Are you talking the talk? Are you walking the talk? They go hand in hand. I want to read from the book of Proverbs 4:27, 23-27. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. My message is entitled, About the Heart. These things do go into us, and it's not easy to purge these things. Brother Jose brought up the scripture where it talks about a clean room and the spirit going out. Well, there's also said that nature abhors a vacuum. It abhors an empty space. When you get immersed and you get baptized, you become clean, cleaner than you've ever been. But what are you going to do what are you going to do with that empty space? Are you going to listen to the same things? Are you going to hang around the same environments and just have all that stuff just flood right back into you? And now we're always repenting. Nobody's perfect. No one is ever perfect. But it's the striving for. We're not to be better. We recognize the mistakes that we have made in the past. If you come out of the world like myself, the relationships. I realize the relationships that I made, the mistakes that I made, and it's going forth. How did I carry myself on? Was it in a Torah observant way? Or was I just doing what I saw what was right in my own eyes? Coming to the assembly. And I love these children. I love all my brethren. But I think about the fact that what would other people say? There was a time, and this country's not perfect, but there was a time that I've read about and I've seen where before a person walked out the door, they looked at themselves and they wondered, how is this going to affect other people? This wasn't everybody, but there were these times, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know if these were Christians. You know, being a Christian is not so much about putting your hat on and taking your hat off. It's about what you're doing. Who is your example, and how are you following? Well, that's the same way with keeping your heart. What are you allowing in? What are you following? When I look out into an audience or when I'm in someplace else, I'm a single guy. Would I like to be married? Yeah, sure, one day if Yahweh blesses it to be so. But then I look at the examples. We got plenty of married people here and plenty of families, little children. And at times, adults can be as little children as we should be, because that's what the Yahshua says. We need to become as little children. Well, what are my examples? How do I see myself as a single man versus the married couples? How do they carry on? How are they teaching their children? My brethren, you are my examples. Out of the issues of life. The issue of life for a person who's Torah, we want to get to the kingdom. We want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But are our actions proceeding up to that? Are our fruits? When we're judged, because everybody gets judged, you're going to be first resurrection or second. But are our fruits worthy? Running that race to the end. We want that prize. Athletes, bodybuilders, whatever you want to call someone who's going after the golden cup. They're in there. There is no off-season. I've told some of the kids when I do give them advice and training. These guys don't just sit around and get fat over the off-season. They're training every day because they want to be number one. If you're not playing baseball like when I train some of these or help with some of the kids, or they're doing do some exercises. Strengthen your body. You don't come into the off-season out of shape. We don't come into Sabbath having not maybe read our Bibles a few times saying some psalms to ourselves, inwardly or outwardly. What do you do in your stressful workplace? I know there's sometimes that I'm singing inwardly and sometimes humming a little bit, even at work, because it can be stressful. I get some relief from that. Does the gospel, does the message give you relief? Does it help your heart deal with the burdens that we do on the outside of Sabbath? Because it's not like how Sundays are treated now, where you go to church, you go home, and you live your life. Moving on, let's look at Romans 14:21. It is good to neither eat flesh, or it is good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Now, by the breadth of this message, I'm sure everyone knows, I'm not really talking about the first part of that. More toward the end, that thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Now, this probably would more so reflect brethren, because it's all-encompassing, from the little to the great, and men, women, aged, or whatever. We have to be careful by our actions. Remember, there's the three witnesses, appearance, our actions, and by our speech. And just because you're looking right at someone doesn't mean that someone else isn't listening. So what are your words saying? What are you doing that other people may see? When I was a resident assistant in college, we had it called the fishbowl effect, because you never know who's looking at you and who's listening to you. So you have to be careful about what you're doing. If you don't, well, you've got witnesses and people may talk, maybe not. But if somebody brings an issue to you, then also, are you going to get defensive or are you going to get humble? Correct your ways. Nearing the end of this message here, I have a couple of scriptures that actually didn't make it here onto the slide. Psalm 19:14, and it's in a song. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Yahweh, my strength and my redeemer. I remember at the feast, I think it was Elder Allen, he kind of joked a little bit about, may have been Paul, sitting in a chair. Maybe if we have Joshua sitting in a chair there, and it's been recently said, would they be comfortable sitting in our assembly right here amongst us and seeing the actions about how we carry on, or how we clothe? No one has to raise their hand in a message like this when questions are asked. Have you ever been in a situation within your own assembly, within the protection, because this is a protection, where you've had to maybe turn your head away because maybe you saw something you didn't want to see by accident, because maybe somebody didn't consider their dress, or maybe you overheard a bad joke that maybe shouldn't have been told, not only on Sabbath, but maybe just not in good taste at all by a believer. I remember Brother Michael once said that maybe it was a joke that was told, and he said, you know, I'm not allowed to laugh at that. And it's a learning process, my friends. It really is a learning process. And Yahweh give us the 70 years that it's spoken about in Psalms. Maybe give us 90 years. He give us the grace of time to learn and to walk. And to be an example. Be a light, because you don't hide the light under a bush. You don't hide it. We're lights to the world. If somebody walked in through those doors and modestly dressed, not only are they going to walk, will they walk into an assembly of believers that are acting correctly, that their speech is according, and that their dress does not cause a distraction. I'm going to finish with a story that I recently saw, and it's actually a recurring story that just seems to happen over and over and over. We're out on the East Coast at a school. And sadly, the school is also at fault with this. There's rarely ever one person at fault. The school has a dress code policy. Lots of schools. Almost every school has a dress code policy. Even when I was a kid, there was a dress code policy. There's always rules and regulations, always. But they banned leggings, the yoga pants, whatever they're called nowadays. But they weren't exactly enforcing it. And then one day they decided to enforce it. And they sent a girl home. The girl comes back with her mom, and, you know, they're blowing smoke. And then they start, you know, the pen is mighty. They start getting a hold of the news stations and writing letters. And the mom doesn't see anything wrong with that. She says, is it my fault? And the girl says it too. Is it my fault that the boys' minds can't stay where they need to be? You're in a situation of learning. It's always been that way. If you're not accepting of your own responsibility toward your fellow man, then the question of, am I my brother's keeper, is null and void. It doesn't matter, because all that matters is what I do, what I say, and what I think. Only a person who is Torah observant has some type of guidelines coming from the parent. It's got to be handed down. Otherwise, if the parent's not teaching you, well, the streets, the TV, and society, which as we see is just crumbling around our heads, is going to teach them. Scripture talks about in the morning, you're sitting, you're talking with your kids basically all day about this, even three times a day. When you sit down with them and eating food, when you're walking out with them in the world, teach them Yahweh's way. Give them Yahweh's way. Train them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, whatever old may be, if Yahweh gives them the years, they won't depart from it. Maybe they'll be like the prodigal son and depart from it anyway. But he comes back. He came back because the world is a rough place. The world's tough. And it can make us hard. So hard that our hearts, that Yahweh wants to be soft and malleable like clay, it can make it impossible. There's nothing that's impossible for Yahweh, but what measure will Yahweh have to go through in order to reach you? Brethren, thank you for listening. Happy Sabbath and Feliz Sábado.